Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing some running back, grinding the mocks review here, final stretch here on the draft preparation. And I'll say, I think the big takeaway from looking through all this and doing some research, and I went two rounds because there's not a ton of action in the first round, so I went two rounds and through all the teams. And I have to say, I think that the two biggest stories, well, I guess there's three big stories. I don't see a clear Trey Mason, Marlon Mack candidate. That's the first one. I don't see a clear situation where a team drafts someone that absolutely tanks a starter's value. So that's I think, the big one. And especially like a high-end starter. I think the most obvious one would have been James Robinson, but there's like no action to that in the mock drafts. So I'm not going to say it's impossible and things surprise, and this isn't the end-all be-all of draft prognostication, but that is, I think, a surprising one, at present, that there's very, very little to that. That'll be something we'll watch for and see if anything changes. But, seeing them potentially in the first round there, where they have the 25th overall pick, there's not a ton of linkage there. And they have 33, 45. So, again, you would think that maybe they could be in play there, but there's very little to that in the mock draft. In the mock draft data. So I thought that was a big one. Second big story is really that really combined two of them. So there's no Trey Mason, and that James Robinson is really appears pretty safe, and which is pretty nice for the position. And as at his cost right now, he's going running back 16. Like, I don't see how he gets much higher, honestly, but that does protect some of his floor for sure. The other thing too that was pretty notable is nothing to San Francisco. And Jeffrey Wilson, running back 38, he is projecting relatively safe, which is pretty nice. And Raheem Mostert is running back 28. The two of them, I mean, out of that, right, if they survive, one of them is going to significantly outproduce their RDP. Or, in the event of some injuries, like, they're definitely returning value on that. So that's the big things that I found from it. So outside of that, there are some situations that I do think warrant thinking about. The Bills, 15.2% of mock drafts, that should be zero. They do not need running backs. They need someone to defend Patrick Mahomes in some way, shape, or form, whether that's put him on his back or cover Travis Kelce, right? That is really the end-all be-all of what they need. So, 7% both Harris and Etienne there. That's interesting. There's a ton of smoke to the Steelers. They haven't drafted a first-round skill position player since Rashard Mendenhall, and that was in 2008. And then a couple years before that, drafted Santonio Holmes. So it has been a while since they've gone that route. So this would be a historical upset in terms of them taking a running back this early, but there is lots of smoke to that. Hey, we need to fix the ground game. Maybe you should improve the offensive line. So we'll see how that goes. My approach to fixing the running game typically is not to draft a running back, but that's, they're paid to do it and I'm not. So offensive tackle was the most common with the 28%. The most commonly mocked player there was Najee Harris at 18.6%. Travis Etienne 7.8%. So about half as less than half as likely as Harris. So I think if there's one that you were to say, hey, what's the most likely running back pairing with a team on round one? Probably Najee Harris. So to Pittsburgh, I think that would be the most common one that we see so far. There's some second round. Again, they're the second most mocked position in the second round for running back at 22%. If you sort of look at that and say, all right, like, is it about a coin flip on them addressing the position the first 2 days of the draft? I mean, maybe there's some residual there. Like, all right, like, maybe third or fourth round could be, you know, we sort of really ramp that up, and maybe it's 30, 40% combine those two. There's no real data out there. But, you know, are you really concerned about the person coming in? I mean, Trey Sermon's there. I mean, Ramondre Moore Stevenson, I guess, you could potentially see being like a three-down guy. But Benny Snell, right, for a 50-50 shot, right, Benny Snell is one that's pretty interesting. So, you know, that's at a third-round valuation. It's an intriguing throw-in in larger leagues. Again, I'm not going to go out and necessarily pay 302 for him right now, but if I can sort of masquerade that type of valuation for him in a bigger deal, if I can do a pick, you know, some sort of sliding around pick, something like that, I'm doing a move up and a move down, and I sort of get him thrown in, right? That's something I think you could be interested in doing. I mean, I think that's an interesting one. Anthony McFarland's also there, but I think the more likely outcome is Snell. Again, it's a minority outcome, but it is, I think, a non-zero, significantly non-zero chance too. So maybe 20%, which, again, that's to have a 20% shot at a guy that should see a significant rise in cost. You probably won't even need to hang out and see how good he is until you can cash out a profit. So that would be one situation I'd look to monitor. Arizona, I'm a little skeptical on this. Second round, 21%. A lot of that data is pre-James Conner signing. So I would have thought, like, I would have been, yeah, that's a pretty good number, I thought, you know, with Chase Edmonds there. With James Conner there, that number probably shrinks, would be my guess. I would guess maybe, you know, we cut that down to a third of what it is, right? Something 5, 6, 7%, something like that. I think there's a chance, but you know, it's Javonte Williams 8% and ETN at 6%, and that is largely a product of the fact that Travis Etienne's projected to be gone by 49. So, you know, it'd probably be a higher chance on ETN going before then than Williams. So that's the thought behind that one. The Chargers are actually another one that are mildly interesting, although I don't think it's an overt threat to Austin Eckler. But they are the second most commonly mocked player in the second round is Javonte Williams, with 9% of mock drafts selecting a running back in the second round. So again, not a huge percentage, and Joshua Kelly should probably survive, but I'm going to constantly monitor that one, whether maybe it's Justin Jackson, you know, try and make an anti-Josh Kelly bet in that backfield. Be something I'm going to continuously look for throughout the offseason. Miami Dolphins, second round, 25.9% running back. It's the most commonly mocked position to the Dolphins in the second round, 11% for Javonte Williams, 10% for Travis Etienne. I think that, again, is a factor of them potentially being, you know, where Etienne is off the board before them. Their numbers are a little bit skewed, too, by the fact that they have two picks. So, you know, just keep that in mind with some of the percentages that might not be the greatest. I double-checked a little bit just to see, but I'm not sure how much I would totally rely on the percentile chances and the percentages and all that out of Miami, just because the numbers could be skewed a little bit by some of the you know, the double picks in both rounds type scenarios. So just keep that in mind. I think, like, they're a non-zero chance to take it a running back in the first round too, although I think they're smarter than that. So, but I wouldn't necessarily rule that out totally. The Jets, 30% of mock drafts have them selecting a running back in the second round. You know, if you sort of look at that and say, all right, what's the, you know, maybe they don't go that route. Is it a third round guy? But then you start looking into the idea of, like, hey, maybe Tevin Coleman, maybe LaMichael Perine. So again, sort of in that Benny Snell type of range, like cheap dart throw stash, figure out a way to do it in a broader deal where you're not really paying anything for them. They're just accumulating roster spot. I'm really interested in that one. So that's really the big takeaways from the from looking at the process there. You know, I do think that we're probably not going to see a big broadside of a player's value. I mean, if I had to sort of put a like a hey, take a guess at like the most likely guy that, to come out of nowhere to get broadsided by someone, I'm not even sure that they would necessarily be broadsided per se. I still think that the player would have value. Maybe Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon could be one that I could see with that happening. So that would be one that I could say, hey, you know, they do some unconventional things in the draft that some of their decision-making stuff is entirely clear. You know, Mike Davis in Atlanta is one that, you know, I think if you sort of look at the top there of the second round, it's pretty like if there's I think a non-zero chance that Najee Harris falls out of the first round. And if you sort of look in that tier right there, I mean, Jacksonville sitting at 33, the Jets at 34, you know, Miami's at 36 in there as well. Atlanta's at 35. You sort of look right in that range where you could say, huh, like this, that's a potential spot for him. And Cincinnati sits at 38. Again, I don't think Harris gets there. I think he goes off before that, but that would be one that you could say that would be a pretty big broadsiding. So that's the most likely one. You know, the running back I'm going to be one of the most interested in is what Carolina does. Yeah, and this is probably going to be a cheap one, but that's going to be another one. You know, if that's a day three guy, an early day three guy, that one's interesting because that's a one injury away situation that's open. Yeah, and then that's really the big one. Again, I don't see many. Myles Gaskin's one that might get, you know, that might get sideswiped, but people are kind of expecting that. So, but outside of that, I don't see one. And you know, the San Francisco, I guess, would be the other scenario, but they just have, they haven't shown, they don't have any drafted pedigree on their team. And is that a trend or is that something that needs to be fixed? That's the big question, but that would be maybe the other one that I could see a surprise happening, but you know, maybe that's more day two or day three, something like that. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, keep embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.